Welcome to the Trust Your Voice podcast. My name is Sylvie Légère, and as a civically engaged entrepreneur, the co-founder of the Posse Circle, and a mom, I've noticed that too often we underestimate our leadership potential, and we forget that we can be a catalyst. I believe that no matter where you are in life, it is meaningful conversations like the one we will have today that ignite new ways to think about our purpose. You can be a spark for others. You just need to trust your voice, even if it's a little shaky. So let's start the show. Hi, Sylvie here. So today I am joined by Sierra Wolf, who is the executive director of the Yellowstone Club Community Foundation. Sierra has spent her entire career creating partnerships and cultivating community impact resources with both small, large-scale national nonprofits in Southwest Montana. I've known Sierra now for a few years, and she is a tireless community leader in Big Sky, Montana. She's an elected board member of the Big Sky Resort Tax Board, and previously she was also the CEO of the Big Sky Community Organization. So if you haven't been to Big Sky, you should. It's a small place in the mountain, and the area is known for fly fishing, hiking, amazing winter activities. And you might be wondering, why am I bringing you this conversation? Well, since I co-founded the Posse Circle, I have engaged in conversations around the country on issues like housing, taxes, mental health. And so when I visit a place like Big Sky, I can't help but ask myself, well, how does this town function? Where do our people that work in the resorts live? Is there access to medical services? Who makes the decisions here? So over the last 3 years, Sierra and I have been organizing a women's summit that bring together Big Sky community leaders and women who are not living full-time in Big Sky, but call Big Sky their second home. So I have seen firsthand the results of the efforts that Sierra is leading in Big Sky. And I thought that she may spark you all to have a renewed way to think about community. So let's start the show and let us spark. Sierra, welcome.
Thank you so much, Sylvie. It's such a pleasure to be here today.
Sierra, tell us a little bit about who you are, who do you serve, and take us to Big Sky for a moment. Describe the environment where you live and the town of Big Sky. And I say this in quote unquote, how has it become a town that spans between two counties in Southwest Montana?
I love the North Star imagery because it's really your guiding light, right? And so who am I? So many things. Not-for-profit leader. I think of myself as a social entrepreneur. I'm a mother of two teenagers and a wife, a volunteer, community member, sister, daughter, elected officer, and most importantly, a friend to so many. Who do I serve? I serve the people in the greater Big Sky area. Service has always been a big part of my life. It's been a big part of my career. And I love getting to see the faces and hear the stories and understand the impact that we're able to make with the challenges that people are facing. When I see those transformations, when I see those things come to life, that really is my why, is the drive, right? And so I serve all of these folks, all of my neighbors, all of my friends, and the reason why our foundation does what we do in our community. So the community of Big Sky originally started as purely a ski resort in the 1970s. There was a dead-end highway that was built that brought you to the ski resort. The ski resort is located on private land that's actually nestled almost in a small peninsula of private land that is fully surrounded by public land. And so it's really geographically remote. That public land is National Forest Service, wilderness, and then we also have Yellowstone National Park right down the road. So over the past 50 years, that small ski resort has turned into one of the largest in North America. And therefore, a community has slowly been built up around it to support the tourism and destination. That's the reason why we span across two counties, actually, is the ski resort was never thought to actually have an entire community around it with year-round individuals. It was more of a destination. But as humans do their thing, we've slowly built into a year-round community that supports the large tourism that comes here. When you come to the community, it's focused on skiing. We both have downhill and Nordic and in the winter, and then golfing, hiking, hunting, boating, fishing, all of those outdoor things in the summer.
What people may not realize is that Big Sky is not an incorporated place, an incorporated town. In the U.S., about 40% of our population live in places who are not
incorporate it. And Big Sky is one of them with its 3,700 year-round residents. But Sierra, I'd love for you to tell us, what does it mean to be in an unincorporated place?
Well, for our community, we are a year-round population of 3,600. So to put that in perspective, we have a K through 12 school district, and there are approximately 410 students in it. That just kind of shows you how small of a year-round population we are. However, at any given week, we can swell up to 20,000 visitors that are here because we have a lot of tourism. And then we also have a lot of our homes here are actually second homes, vacation destination homes for families from all over the United States. To be unincorporated here means that we actually have a lot of volunteers that are the individuals that lead and guide this community. And they are board members. Some of them are elected. Some of them are just volunteers on not-for-profit boards. They are board members that do the best that they can in this community to make decisions on behalf and guide the community in the way that it needs to go as it grows.
It is more complex to be represented when you are not part of an incorporated community. I know that the Policy Circle brief on stitching the fabric of neighborhood features a unincorporated community in New York that's called Edgemont. And what they did is they formed the Edgemont Community Council, where there was representation from about 10 neighborhood associations to make all kinds of decisions from zoning, permitting, and beautification decisions. So I'd love to unpack with you the governance in Big Sky. How do Big Sky residents have a voice with the county level trustees and the administrators for zoning, permitting, planning, administration of tax revenues, et cetera?
So when you think about it, there's really three different groups that lead some of those day-to-day things that a normal incorporated city would manage. One of those is our HOAs. We have over 100 HOAs in this small little community. And those HOAs are all board ran by the residents that own within those areas. And that's who plows the roads and deals with a lot of the rules in each of those neighborhoods. The other one that you've referenced is the public tax districts. And so those are our school board, our resort tax, our water and sewer district, our fire district, our transportation district, and our parks, trails, and open land district. Those districts are actually, we're able to span over the county line. So we can have one district that is joined that is in both of the counties in which our community resides. And so they're a really effective way for us to govern our community. The board members are appointed by the county commissioners on each county, and the board has to represent a certain number of individuals that live in both counties. So it's a good geographic representation of our community. And then the last, but definitely not the least, are the not-for-profits. They serve a lot of different things. Big Sky Community Organization that does parks, trails, and recreation. So think of them almost like your parks district. And then also our housing trust is a not-for-profit that is really working on affordable workforce housing for the community of Big Sky and the workforce of Big Sky.
Yeah, there's a lot of entities. You can't just blame one person, right? So this governance, there's many entities that are responsible for the governance of Big Sky. Are people in favor, perhaps, of being absorbed with a city like Bozeman that is about an hour away? Is that being discussed?
No, it is not. Our economy and population is really unique in comparison to the surrounding larger communities in the Gallatin Valley. And we're pretty geographically separate too. We have a winding canyon with a river in it. Actually, 2 days this week, that canyon's been closed due to car accidents where nobody could get to Big Sky from Bozeman for at least a 3 to 5 hour time frame. So we have to be, our small little community has to be independent. We have to be able to function separately. However, we do depend on them for a lot of our workforce and a lot of our major resources. Most of the people that live in Big Sky year-round still have to drive to Bozeman at least once a week or once every other week to get some of your basic essential needs, from large-scale grocery purchases to certain medical providers, because we do not have all of that up here in our community. You know, one of the big pieces about governance, too, that everybody understands is governance manage public money, right? That's what they do. And the way we're set up is all of our property taxes that we pay go to the counties in which our homes reside. What's interesting is our small little community, it makes up 25% of the property tax for Gallatin County, which has the large community of Bozeman and a much larger population than the other county we sit in, Madison County. And Madison County, our Big Sky Ski Resort is located in there, in addition to the three private clubs that we have, the Yellowstone Club, Spanish Peaks Mountain Club, and Moonlight Basin Club. Those all reside in Madison County. Their property taxes make up between 75 to 80% of Madison County's entire collection of property taxes. And they do not have a single public road, those residents, to access any other part of Madison County. So they use all of Gallatin County's resources, even though their property taxes go to Madison County. So that's where our resort tax comes in, that tax district. That's our only local funding that we collect in Big Sky and actually distribute in Big Sky, what would be made up very similar to a city budget. What's unique about Montana, if you don't know, is we don't have sales tax here, unless you're in a resort community. We're able to have up to a 4% sales tax on luxury items. So not basic needs, not grocery, not your gas, not your childcare, things like that. But if you are buying a ski ticket, or if you're buying clothes in our community or going out to eat, you're paying that 4% tax. What that does is allow all the tourists that visit and all of our second homeowners that spend time here to put money into building up an infrastructure that supports up to 20,000 people, not just the 3,600 people that are living here year round. And so that's the elected board that I also sit on. And our board of directors distribute those funds every single year into this community.
Hi, I want to take a moment to tell you about the Civic Leadership Engagement Roadmap, CLEAR. It's a self-paced leadership program to become a more impactful citizen. This virtual program features one-on-one coaching, mastermind peer groups, networking opportunities, and curated activities that are really designed to help you build connections with local policy leaders and decision makers. This year, CLEAR offers a special program for women who are members of the military and veteran community. To learn more, visit thepolicycircle.org. Well, I appreciate going through the governance and also the tax structure. It's always interesting to follow the money and kind of the seats of powers, if you will, in the community and having representation there so that the resources that you're putting in are actually going to the residents and benefiting the workers and the people who are there. So let's shift gear a little bit in terms of, you know, what holds a community together. And that's often like connections that's really important. And so, in your experience, you know, living in Big Sky, what are like the pillars on which community connections are built? And I know you've built some incredible infrastructures. So I'd love to for you to share, you know, what are those pillars of community connections?
When you're really looking at building a community that's growing over time, whatever type of community that is, there's two components of it. There's the physical infrastructure we oftentimes think about when looking at a city or a town, like your water sewer plant or your roads or your bridges. But there's also the key component, which is really the heart and soul of most communities, and that's the social infrastructure. Those are the web of services, activities, and programs that allow a community of people to feel connected. And so there's both of those components, and we as a community are looking at building up both at the same time. Oftentimes you need the physical first before you can then add the social part. So some of the physical infrastructure pieces we've been involved in that have really changed this community over time has been we were able to build our own high school up here. Prior to that, our high school students had to commute over an hour through Dangerous Canyon each way to get to high school. Most of the families either left Big Sky by the time their students were that age, or they chose to send their students to a boarding school, which didn't create a community where there was teenagers that were a part of it. So our school has been one of them. Our Big Sky Medical Center has been another, so that we have 24-hour medical care in our community and don't have to drive that hour to get some of those basic services and emergency care services. Childcare has been a critical one. If you're working, especially if you're trying to live in a mountain community, it's not easy. It's not affordable. And so most of our families here are dual income. And having a trustworthy, reliable childcare is something we've been working really hard at a community to try to bring so that our workforce has that support. And then a really fun project that I was fortunate to get to be a part of was our community's first community center. It's named BASE. It's owned and operated by the Big Sky Community Organization. And it's a place where everyone has access to be able to come together and use it for recreation, for arts and culture, and really just community building. From playing a card game to working out to playing pickleball or spinning pottery on a wheel, that community center is open and accessible to everyone in our community and allows new people to be able to meet the community member. It's a place where you can gather. And that's what's so important in small towns is that we know each other. We know our neighbors, we respect each other, and we support really all the differences that come across the board. And so some of those social infrastructure programs have been really key for our community to build up over time alongside the physical roads, water sewer districts, houses, schools, all of those things.
I think also, you know, I might add, and perhaps that's in the future, but you already have in place a social impact hub where all of the support services come together. So there could be more cohesiveness and collaboration instead of duplication of efforts. And also, and I don't know if that is in the future, is this entrepreneurial incubator, I guess perhaps with the high school, you were just sharing that, you know, the high school is developing kind of a maker's space and maybe that will develop into an entrepreneurial incubator. Are there like some thoughts there so that people can not only support tourists, but also perhaps incubate businesses that offer services beyond the Big Sky Resort area?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a strong Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for bringing that up. That really supports our small businesses. There's a lot of opportunity when a community grows. There's a lot of businesses, small services that can be started here. And so our Chamber of Commerce serves as that hub. We do the foundation in which I lead, the Yellowstone Club Community Foundation, opened that social impact hub to really bring together our not-for-profits that did not have office space, weren't large enough to be able to pay the expensive cost of commercial rent in a mountain resort community, be able to bring them together to work so that they can collaborate and slowly co-create some of these projects and programs that are going to be so important. One of the other things and one of the unique things that Big Sky has done a really good job at is partnering with our local university, Montana State University, that's right down the road in Bozeman. We've been able to do things like help build out a hospitality program there so that the students that go to school and graduate can then transition into the resort hospitality industry up here in Big Sky. We're trying to partner right now with their early childhood unit so that as we have community childcare, we can, as those students graduate, they can step right into jobs, into our community that keeps them here in Montana, keeps local kids that have grown up in the state that they grew up in, and gives them good jobs, but also helps fuel our future workforce as a community, because that's really hard when we don't have a lot of places to live in our community and it is very expensive.
So on one of our episodes, I interviewed Ashley Marsh from Marsh Collective, and we talked about shaping the vision for a community. So I would love, Sierra, for you to share, what is the vision for Big Sky? And have you gone through a visioning session with the residents?
Yes. We had a really neat opportunity as a community led by our local resort tax, brought in a firm to do a community listening session in so many different ways and allowed the community really to paint a picture of who do we want to become and where are we going? Because we know we're growing. That we cannot control. We're going to grow. But who do we want to, what type of folks do we want to attract? What's the culture of this community? When people visit us, how do we want them to feel? And we actually put together a strategic visioning plan called Our Big Sky that identifies the pillars in which are important to our community and then all the different groups that are working on those pillars together. And for us, that's what's key, is that it's not one group doing something. If you want to have a community that really cares about its young people, you can't just point at two organizations or two entities, like the school and a nonprofit, and say, make sure that those young people are taken care of. You really have to, the whole community has to embrace that culture and think about that and weave that into everything that they do. And so through that session and the planning and coming with a plan that has all these pillars that we care about, our community had a voice and is empowered and bought into where we're going. So as a financial leader with both a decision maker on where we put our tax dollars and a guide for a lot of our philanthropic dollars in this community, it's so important to know that what we invest in, the people who live here are actually going to carry out the work and make it happen. That's the key piece of it. Otherwise, our investments are just money without the people that are empowered and passionate about carrying it out.
So what is the vision? Like, did you guys come up with a vision statement?
The simplest way to put it is we are here as a community. We care about our people and we care about our land. And our vision is to develop a community. We didn't come up with one statement. There was almost too much in it, but to develop a community that prioritizes both alongside each other.
It's always an inspiration to talk to you. And thank you for walking us through how Big Sky Community is organized and thriving and looking in the future. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, Sylvie. It's been a pleasure. And I hope that I get to continue to learn from other communities just as they can learn from us.
Thank you for joining me today. I hope that my conversation with Sierra sparked a new way to look at the building blocks of a community. What I took away from my conversation was that what's essential for a community to be connected and work together and thrive is you need to have a social infrastructure in place for people to gather and educational institutions where adults and children can learn and grow. You need to have a healthcare infrastructure and also entrepreneurial hubs, which are often led by really strong local chambers of commerce. But also, a community needs a vision that becomes a North Star so that it can continue to thrive with future generations. Thank you for joining me, Sylvie Légère, on my Trust Your Voice podcast. I hope that this episode brought you a new way to think about your voice, how to trust yourself, and how to use your voice for good in your life and in your community. If you like this podcast, be sure to leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. À bientôt.